In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So I'll begin with a question for you to ponder. What brought you here? Not to apostles, though that question matters a great deal. What brought you to this city, Knoxville, or to its surrounding towns, this region of East Tennessee? We call this place home. So your answer, you might recall as you ponder that, when the call of God came to come and make Knoxville your home. It might be, I've always lived here. Mama and Daddy have always lived here. Well, keep on going then. What or who brought Mom and Daddy here? I recently attended one of the Knox County Commission meetings about the Advanced Knox Plan, which was recently approved for development in Knox County. And at that meeting, I heard not fewer than a dozen farmers who were voicing their concerns who lived on what are known as century farms. These are Tennessee farms and Knox County farms, of course, that have been in families for at least 100 years. And I've scarcely had a deeper sense of the sanctity of this place, of this city and county, than when I heard those farmers speak with love and devotion for this land beneath our feet. I learned anew the dignity of my neighbors. Not only their work, not only they themselves, but their mothers and their fathers before them. Nearer to town, you can find places and you can find neighborhoods and memorials that remember our past. If you walk around in Old North Knoxville, select homes, they have entire histories about those houses, the inhabitants. There are memorials posted on signs as you walk the sidewalks. And you see in some houses you have residents in times past, some who served in the University of Tennessee, judges, school teachers. And then in some of those history, they also tell about a few shady characters and what we would call ne'er-do-wells. We come by our name, the Scruffy City, honestly. And for all that is lovely and unlovely, all that is sacred, all that has become desecrated, this is home. Or the place that we call home until we reach our eternal home. Here is the place of our sojourn to the New Jerusalem that will come down from heaven. The New Jerusalem that will cover all peoples, all nations, all lands, all cities, and Knoxville, Tennessee, too. Today we joined in a procession. We processed outside. Those who were here were processing spiritually as we were praying the Great Litany all together as one church. And we process not just on Rogation days because we seek to be a parish that preserves ancient traditions. That ever so brief walk beside our modest little garden, shuffling our feet through dewy grass and then walking Robinson Road, which belongs to the city, to the limit of our church boundary, crossing over into Civic Place, then returning to the doors of our parish and praying the Great Litany each step along our route. That procession is no shallow ritual. Any procession led by the cross of Christ, it reveals both visible and invisible realities. The invisible reality of a procession is the truth that we process in worship, not with just those saints that we see here. We process with angels and archangels and a great cloud of witnesses, those saints whom we love and see no longer. There are three Sundays of the year that the congregation processes together: Palm Sunday, Easter Vigil, and Rogation Sunday. You can add a fourth occasion on the Feast of Candlemas. These parish processions, they signify something. More than just beginning service, walking together. It signifies we belong to a kingdom that is both seen and unseen, that is both here and that is coming, that is now and that is not yet. You cannot see God the Holy Spirit, and yet it is the Holy Spirit leading us. It is the Spirit of God who summoned us, or our fathers and mothers, to sojourn in faith here, not somewhere else. It is the Spirit of God who gives us the very breath we breathe to pray the great litany to God the Father in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You cannot see how great and mysterious is this procession, but you belong here. You are witnesses of realities visible and invisible. The visible reality is that we process in worship here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, in our journey of faith, we might take pilgrimages. I encourage it, having been on one. We may take pilgrimages to holy sites and distant places and lands. We welcome back Father Rob, who's just returned from pilgrimage in Spain. But our procession here, too, is a pilgrimage. Our procession here is a sign our pilgrimage happens in Knoxville. And not just for ourselves, it is for God's full glory and goodness that it would transfigure Knoxville. Our procession, our pilgrimage, is not for our own spiritual growth alone. Our pilgrimage requires fidelity to our Lord and to His commands in this city, in this county. So we pray that Knoxville would be sanctified holy by the Holy Spirit. Not just we ourselves. We pray that our home, this would be the place where new creation advances, where it increases. In the ancient practice of procession that we continue here in Knoxville, we pray the ancient words of the Great Litany. It's one of the best prayers, one of the best liturgies we have in the Book of Common Prayer. There are no better, no more fitting words to pray on Rogation Days, to pray over our city, than the petitions, the intercessions, and the confessions of the Great Litany. Yes, we pray in this prayer. We pray for all creation. We pray for all nations. We pray for our nation because we are baptized into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. But we are witnesses of the global church here. Those places and people we see each day, the conflicts, the problems, the aches, the suffering that we know most intimately among our neighbors and within our city, these are the locations. These are the people we especially attach to each petition in the Great Litany. In any petition, in any intercession we offer, we pray the Great Litany in and for Knoxville, for East Tennessee. There's been a recent conversion to Christianity of a fairly well-known author who's also a scholar of mythology. His name is Martin Shaw. And Shaw said that one of the most powerful revelations he had when he was seeking faith, but not yet a Christian, when he was reading the Gospels, one of the most powerful revelations about the Gospels is that he said, "I discovered that the Gospel has a postal code." So he's British, so we've got to adapt that for us and say, the Gospel has a zip code. The Gospel has a zip code. Not only does the Gospel have a zip code, it has a calendar. We walk in procession in the year of our Lord, 2024. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. These are not easy times. I must repent of pining for calmer years, calmer times gone by. Now, no time passed, no era that we look upon with affection, no era in our memory had complete peace. That's the illusion of nostalgia, actually. But it's also true that recent times past have enjoyed greater stability and greater harmony than our own. Just thinking of my lifetime, what travails were in the world and in our nation and our city in like the 1980s and the 1990s, they were much milder than the aches of recent years. And yet Christ calls us to take up our cross and to process with him as his church in 2024. You and I were not born to process with the cross of Christ in calmer times. And if we have processed in calmer times, we are in different times. We take up the cross today. We do not have in 2024 the great blessing of gathering, processing, worshiping, praying, receiving communion in a time of national stability or civic harmony. We process with the cross of Christ, and we are led by the Holy Spirit of God in these days of 2024. So in times such as these, thank God for the invisible realities of processions. When you live in unstable times, the invisible realities such as remembering and of believing that when you process with the cross, you are accompanied by a great cloud of witnesses. We remember not only those wonderful saints that are known across nations, we remember saints who have been here and faithful and who are now with the Lord. We remember this cloud of witnesses. In so many accounts of the lives of the early church, of the church fathers, we hear examples of Christians who desired suffering so they could imitate Christ, even to the point of martyrdom. That's not a native desire for myself. I haven't gotten there. But wow, I see the holiness of that desire to love Christ so much as to suffer with him no matter what it is. You see, our fathers and mothers in the faith, they ran towards hardship like soldiers volunteering for the front lines of the fiercest battlefield. They volunteered for it, to move into the place of suffering. We're coming towards Pentecost. We talked about this last Sunday. We pray, send forth your Holy Spirit and breathe within us holy courage for the living of these days in this place. St. Paul said in Romans 8, which we heard moments ago, that creation is always groaning for redemption until the Son of God returns. And yet that groaning, it seems so much more audible in recent years. We see the shaking that's happening around the world. We see it in Europe, in the Middle East, throughout these United States. The nature of our news media, it draws us to these events and these happenings. And in recent years with media, it's so much more about what's happening far away. Well, I would say in one sense, thank God we have the means by which to know what's going on in the world, because we are called to be intercessors, a royal priesthood praying for all the nations of the world. But Rogation Sunday will not allow us to ignore the ground beneath our feet. Our attention cannot be forever far afield and forget our fields nearby. The church processing on Rogation Sunday cannot constantly opine about what's happening in Washington and ignore what's happening at the city council building. We cannot overlook the needs of farmers and food producers, their dependence upon regular, gentle rains and moderate temperatures. You may have seen projections about the summer forecast, projected to be well above normal throughout the United States in 2024. Creation is strained. The threat of drought is upon us. Creation is groaning for redemption. And so what do? We process. We pray the great litany. We ask for these things according to the will of God. That's actually the origin of the word rogation. Rogation derives from the Latin verb, which means to ask. If you haven't heard of the word rogation until today, and I hadn't seen this in the years we've been worshiping on Rogation Sunday, the word rogation is hidden in plain sight when you pair it with a familiar prefix, interrogation. Interrogation, which most often, of course, has a negative connotation because interrogation means intense questioning. But what if someone wants the questions? What if someone desires the questions? And Jesus said in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you may love one another." Now, much ink has been spilled over that phrase, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Much debate, conversation about what the Lord meant here. That's another sermon all its own, but let's suffice it to say that praying in the name of Jesus, it's not just like the closing phrase of a letter or an email. There's a lot more to it. The invitation to ask anything in the name of Jesus is rooted in the revelation of the whole gospel and the kingdom of God that he preached come to earth. So let's remember this command, whatever you ask in my name. Remember the place and time of these words. He's speaking it in the upper room, Maundy Thursday. These are the farewell words to his disciples. He's preparing them that the Father will soon send the Holy Spirit. Now he says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. No longer does he call them servants, but friends. This is a key moment for them in the upper room. He's saying to them, the apprenticeship is over now. He speaks words about being lifted high on the cross, of rising again, the sending of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand it. But what our Lord's doing in the upper room is he's preparing them to take on the work of new creation. When the Spirit comes upon the church, the Lord will keep making things new in his creation through his church. You see, for 3 years they've received his teaching. These are the ones who sat at Jesus' feet when the Lord preached his Sermon on the Mount. They witnessed signs and wonders. And now he's saying, I'm departing. And when he departs at the right hand of the Father in ascension, he will send the Holy Spirit to abide with them forever, the Spirit who empowers them for obedience. And it will be the same Spirit who will send them into the world to be repairers of the breach, to be the restorer of streets to dwell in. Before Jesus departs, he tells them, ask my Father what you need to abide in him. Ask him to give you all that you need to continue the new creation mission I've given you. Rogare, ask. All the works that you saw Jesus do for 3 years, preaching the kingdom, blessing the poor, showing mercy to the brokenhearted, ask him for help to fulfill these commands of love. So might we think of this great litany that we've prayed as a humble interrogation of the Almighty God. He's asked for it. We printed the Great Litany today, not just that you have a copy for Rogation Sunday, but so that you have a copy for days ahead. Pray the Great Litany again and see if it's not liturgical prayer that is based on the Sermon on the Mount. Compare Matthew 5 and 7 with these prayers and see if they are not hand in glove. This liturgy teaches me how to pray. And these prayers, they reshape my own desires and my understanding of who I'm called to be and what I'm called to do in the world. God has asked us to ask him for these things. And not just anywhere, but somewhere. Here. In the place where the Holy Spirit leads us to sojourn to the New Jerusalem. We are leaning toward Pentecost. Praying and asking God for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit on His church. And I pray that we could hear new depths and purposes to that prayer. We do not pray this for our salvation and sanctification only. We have been sent to bear the fruit of His kingdom here in Knoxville and to be faithful to the end, no matter what the future holds, not only in 2024, but 25, 26, and beyond. When we join a procession that follows the cross of Christ that is led by the Holy Spirit, remember, it is not only a procession that is reaching back, that is processing with the great cloud of witnesses, it's a procession that's moving forward. It's a vanguard. It's leading the way. It bears witness in this place that Jesus Christ, no matter what has happened or is happening in the world, because He's risen from the dead, because He's asking the Father to send His Spirit, He makes things new because He's risen from the dead. He makes things new. So we ask Him, make things new, Lord. A cry out from the depths of our heart. Let us do this together here in this city of our sojourn, until our procession following the cross ends when we reach our eternal home and when we behold with all saints of all nations, places, and cities, when we behold the glory of God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.